Well, hello. Thank you for joining us. I hope that you're having a great day today. The Lord has given us a beautiful, wonderful day. I hope that you're enjoying it, and I hope that you're enjoying fellowship with Him today. And I'm thankful that God has given us this time and this opportunity to meet together and to hear from Him and to grow in His grace. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord, that you've given to us. Lord, this beautiful day, but most of all, Lord, that in this day, you want us to know you. Lord, you want us to grow in your grace. You want us to experience you. Father, I pray now that you'll open our minds and our hearts, O God, to hear from you. Lord, to be able to understand what you desire to say. Father, I pray that we've already made the decision, Lord, that we want to apply, that we want to obey, that we want to follow. Lord, we're here because we want to know you, we want to walk with you, we want to experience you. Father, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm sure all of us at some time or another have been confronted by how weak and frail we really are and how fragile our lives are. No doubt the death or illness of a loved one or a family member has really struck home with us, or maybe we've gone through some health crisis of our own that really caused us to realize how important life is and how fragile it is. And we wonder, you know, how can we get the most out of life? Well, as we open God's Word today to Psalm 39, we are, in fact, find out how we get the most out of life. Now, I doubt very seriously that Psalm 39 is anyone's favorite if they were to list out their top 5 or 10 Psalms. In fact, as you read Psalm 39, as we will in just a moment, it's obviously quite heavy in its subject matter. Yet it's extremely important, it's vital, and it's applicable to everyday life. And so I want us to begin, because it's probably not very familiar to us, simply by reading through the 39th Psalm. And again, you'll see this very heavy in its subject, in its topic, and yet it's very important. And so look with me at Psalm 39. I said, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you've made my day as handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath, Selah. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me. Because of the opposition of your hand, I am perishing. With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. Obviously, very heavy in its subject matter. Again, I doubt seriously if this is your favorite psalm. And yet, as we read it, as we contemplate on it, as we meditate on it, we see how to get the most out of life. As we begin looking at the psalm, the first thing that we need to deal with is, number one, deal with our sin. Again, think what we read in verses 1 and 2. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle, while the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good. Now, I know we read that and we think, what on earth is David talking about there? Well, we get some understanding when we go ahead and drop down to verses 8 through 11. Let's reread those. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I become mute. I do not open my mouth. Because it is you who have done it. Remove your plague from me. Because of the opposition of your hand, I am perishing. With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume as a moth what is precious to him. Surely every man is a mere breath. David had committed some sin. We don't know what it was. Don't need to. None of our business in one sense. That's between David and the Lord. But obviously God's been dealing with him. And David has been quiet before men. He knows what he's going through is discipline from the Lord and does not want to dishonor God in what he has done. And so we look at this psalm, and David's obviously going through a very difficult time. But his misery, and he knows this, is in fact due to sin. Sin destroys and steals our life. You know, sin always comes with the temptation that it's going to add, that it's going to give, that it's a short path to whatever it is we think that we want. And the reality is, sin does not add, it subtracts. Sin does not give, it takes. Sin does not bless us, it robs us. And so we need to understand sin steals our life. And if we're going to truly experience life as God wants us to have, we need to deal with sin. First of all, obviously, in salvation. Because in our natural condition, that is the way we are, unless we placed our trust in Christ and trust in Christ Jesus. The Bible makes it clear we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We're separated from God. That means we are unable to have a relationship with Him, and we're on our way to eternal judgment. Until that problem is solved through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, sin will simply not only destroy us now, but destroy us for eternity to come. But it's also true, and this is what we see in the psalm, in our ongoing life as a believer. We cannot enjoy the fullness of what God wants us to have, and even really the closeness of fellowship with Him, as long as we have sin that's in our life that's not been confessed or repented or dealt with. I'm working ahead. A sermon series we'll be doing beginning in a few weeks at our church on 1 John, as once we conclude the book of Hosea. And of course, if you've studied 1 John, you know the three main themes of 1 John are life, light, and love. And it's a book that really shows us the fullness and richness that God wants us to have in fellowship with Him. And in that early chapter, chapter 1, and on into chapter 2, John makes it very clear that sin robs us of fellowship with the Lord. And if we're in sin, even as believers, and that's the context there, we can't enjoy the richness and the fullness of fellowship. And so if we're going to truly get the most out of life, we're going to have to deal with our sin. Confess it by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. Repent of it. That means turn from it. And once more, enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. So we need to deal with sin. But then secondly, we need to trust the Lord. Look at verse 7 and verses 12 and 13. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Look at verses 12 and 13. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I'm a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn your gaze away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. We put our trust and our confidence in the Lord. That is, that He is who He says He is, that He will do what He says He will do, especially in terms of His grace toward our sin, and that's the immediate context here, but in all of the challenges and issues of life. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He will clear the path for you. Much like that old hymn, and we've quoted it before, trust and obey. You know, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That's not just clever lyrics that someone penned. That's really solid biblical truth. There is no way to be happy in Jesus, and that's the only way to have a full, rich, wonderful life, unless we're walking by faith and trust in Him. So we need to deal with our sins. We need to, in fact, trust in the Lord. But then notice as well what else we see from this psalm. Number 3, value your days. Look at verses 3 through 5. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you made my day as handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. you know, the hard, cold, brutal fact of the matter is this. We only have a few days here on this earth. They are few. Each one of them is short. They pass by so quickly, and we need to make them count. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. King James says to redeem the time. It's a business term. Just like a business, like a very successful business person will make the most of every opportunity that comes his way. We need to look at every day as a wonderful opportunity that God has given to us, and we need to make the most of it. We need to understand this day, this particular day, is in fact a blessing. You know, we actually take these on Monday. That way Jonathan can have them on Tuesday to have them ready to post on Wednesday. But today is Monday. It's Monday afternoon. And, you know, most of us, we think about, oh, it's Monday. And we always dread Monday. We, you know, Monday's probably the least favorite day of the week, whatever the case may be. Monday, even Monday, is a blessing. It's a treasure from God. You think of what we read in Psalm 118 and in verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We need to value our days, even this day, even a Monday, because this day is a gift from God, and we need to value it. But that leads us then to number four. Prioritize your efforts. Since life is so short and every day is so important, we need to invest our time and our life in what really matters. Look at verse 6. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. Again, the aspect there that you only have a limited amount of time here, and you think about what happens after you're gone. All that you've made such an uproar to get, you don't take it with you. You don't decide many times what really happens to it, ultimately. We need to prioritize our efforts. I remember one time hearing a pastor speak, and he was older. He'd been in the ministry for many years, and like many pastors, had been in situations in his ministry, dozens, literally, of people in their last hours, sometimes even their last moments. And he said, you know, in all those times of people that I was with them in the latter stages of life, sometimes even as they passed away, all those dozens of people, and that's probably a conservative estimate, it's probably more than dozens. You know, I never heard one of them, and he was talking about men in particular because he was speaking to men. I've never yet heard a dying man say, as he looked back over his life, gee, I wish I had never gone to any of those stupid Little League games. I wish I had never gone to those piano recitals. I hate that I wasted all that time in those school plays that my children were in. In fact, it is almost without exception. Every one of them would say how much he wished that he had spent more time with his family, more time in those things that truly mattered. Believer, think about it. This day is a treasure. We don't know how many more of them we'll have. We're not even guaranteed the rest of this one, to be frank and honest about it. How are you spending this day? Are you investing it in what really, truly matters? We talked about redeeming the time a moment ago, making the most of it. Are you making the most of this time? This precious day that God has given to you. God has given each of us, you know, the wonderful gift of life. He's given us this day. We need to make the most of it. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we do thank You for the day that You've given to us. Father, most of all, that You've made it possible for us to have fellowship with You in this day, to know You, to experience Your love. Father, may we not allow anything in our life, O God, that keeps us from fully experiencing Your love. Lord, as we face the issues and the challenges of this day, Father, may we put our complete trust and confidence in You. Lord, teach us to number our days. Help us to realize just how precious each day is. And, oh God, based on that, may we prioritize our efforts. Put our time, oh God, into what truly matters the most. And, oh God, may your glory be seen in all that we do. Father, be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God has given you a wonderful gift of today. And I hope that in Him that you experience the richness of His fellowship. I hope that you accomplish all that He has for you. And I hope that you truly do have a good day in the Lord.